a cop in a different neighborhood. That's how nervous I was feeling. And I've been here before. I've spoken before. I've copped in a lot of different neighborhoods where I didn't know a lot of people. And so here I am now, you know, and that's, I can just work with the present right now. And I've probably read this triangle of self-obsession 100 times in the last 24 hours. And then another 100 times, different places along my recovery. I was asked to do this many weeks ago, and I was okay with it then. But as the time got closer and closer, I became more and more uncomfortable because, as this is an honest program, I didn't feel like I have a message to give you this morning because I've not been living in the solution. So I came here to get as much help as anybody can give me. The nice thing about our NA literature for me is that it spells things out for me. It tells me exactly what resentment is. It tells me exactly what anger is. And it tells me exactly what fear is and how we react to it. And it tells me simply because I tend to complicate things. I have lived my life with a lot of resentment towards a lot of people. It started with that I am the youngest member of my family and my parents were old. Okay? And my brothers got out before I did. I resented that feeling different and not having people available to me to show me the way. So then I became very self-reliant and tried to figure it out on my own to the best of my ability. It eventually led me to Narcotics Anonymous, which saved my life. And I have no doubts about that. I have no doubts that the day before I got here was probably the day before my death. And when I did get here and showed up, I thought I had it going on because I was, as I have been today and, you know, most recently, living in this triangle of self-obsession, that it was all about me. I was the one. Through working with a sponsor, coming to meetings regularly, and doing step work, I've gotten a little better. I've gotten some acceptance. I'm not so, you know, okay, so my folks were old. I'm okay with that. They did the best they could do. I had to look at what my part was in that resentment. I've kind of let that anger go. I'm still blessed that I have an elderly mother who can enable me on different days. You know? And I can love that, and I can accept that. And I can accept that she's not going to love me in the manner that I want her to love me in. My mother is not a warm, embracing kind of person. You know? And I can accept that I can come into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and get those hugs that my mother isn't going to give me. I can also accept to some extent that the way my mother does show her love for me is that, like, if I take her to the grocery store, I'm going to get a 20. Okay. If she calls me on Saturday and says, "You don't need to come out here because your brother Jim comes by," I get a resentment because he got the 20. Okay? And then I might even say, you know, my mother didn't do me right. But it's through the program of Narcotics Anonymous that I've learned those things from, like, my sponsor. You know, that's the way she's going to give you your love. Take it, because that allows her expression. You get the $20. You do whatever you're going to do with it. You can feel bad about it if you want. You can spend it if you want. You can do both those if you'd like. And some days I do. I really have trouble with authority figures. Big time. Particularly if you're a little taller than me, or you have a little different professional status than I, and I'm mad with you, and I'm afraid that I'm not going to get my way in this situation. And I had that very experience this week on my job, and I was already in a bad space. I was coming from a meeting with my director who said, you know, you really have trouble with conflict and confrontation, and you need to, like, step up to the plate and do this because it's not about right or wrong or your discomfort. You got to talk to other people about their behavior. Like, you all talk to me about my behaviors at times. This is on the job, though. This isn't Narcotics Anonymous, so I'm like, ugh. I got interrupted in that meeting by a man who happens to be a physician. I happen to be a nurse, so he's already got more status than me, or so I see it that way. And he didn't like something that was going on, so I went over there to meet with him, and I was already in this bad space. And so we'll come over here, let's talk about it over here. And I selected the location, and this location was a little room I couldn't get out of. Okay? And he was in front of me, and I was back here. And I was able to say, I'm not in a good space to do this right now. And he said, I'm not either. And that was my launch button. It was on for me. And through that resentment and that anger and that fear, my comment was, if you don't like the way I do it, I'm not the one, and I'm out of here. And he said, you're right, buddy, you're out of here. And then I said, oh, fuck, I just lost my job. It was only after that I stepped back and said, you know, maybe it's not about me. Maybe, you know, his wife pissed on his Wheaties and it didn't have anything to do with me. But it felt like me. Because oftentimes it feels like me, you know. Probably my most biggest difficulty that I have, or my biggest character defect, is allowing you to be who you are. Because I have an expectation that I want you to be something else. I want you to meet my need, and I haven't even told you what it is. You should just know it already. And if you don't know it, just do it my way, and we're going to be all right. Okay? And I set myself up for these resentments and this, and I set myself up to be angry. And I do that based on fear that you're not going to love me, that I'm going to be alone, that I'm not going to be taken care of. Even though I have the evidence from being here in Narcotics Anonymous for a few years that I've not been alone, I have been taken care of, and there are generally people who love me and care about me. There are people that when I don't show up at a regular meeting that's not my home group, that I'm not in service to, are going to call me and say, where are you? Why aren't you here? What are you up to? Because through this process, I've gotten some acceptance that they really do have my best interest at heart, even though I'm afraid of them. You know, when I first got clean, it wasn't the first time I was introduced to the fellowship. And as I said, I'm a nurse, so when I went to treatment, you know, they said, this is disease, I got that, you know. And so there must be something I can do here to affect that. And the thing I did was not listen and not take any suggestions, and I went back out. Until I was desperate enough to come in here and say, you know what, it's not working, and I need some help. I know now that when I'm not feeling spiritually centered, as when I was sitting up here or even walking here this morning and walking into other people that I know in the rooms in Narcotics Anonymous. There was this gentleman earlier this morning that as he hugged me, he said, are you tweaking? And I thought, nobody has asked me that in a long time, you know? I said, yeah, I am. I'm like all off spiritual center. I don't want to do this. I talked to a couple other people. I know somebody else in the program who was like jumping at an opportunity to speak at a workshop. Like, oh, well, I can ask him. He'll do it. But you know what the real deal is that this is my best chance for getting me some help. So I need to step up and do it. After my fifth anniversary, I had spent the first 5 years of my recovery being single. And so, as I looked around the rooms, as I'm sure many of us do, we see just so many healthy relationships going on in here. Successful marriages, boyfriends, girlfriends, all that. So I have 5 years clean, and it was my turn. And I didn't think I could find it in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. Before I go any further, let me tell you that I found my recovery in Narcotics Anonymous, and I haven't found it necessary to go anyplace else to get recovery.
All right,
come on. Okay. But I found it necessary to go someplace else to find a partner. And I wanted them to be in recovery too. Okay. So I asked for some help, and some people told me where I could go, what meetings to attend. They'll be there. And don't disrespect their traditions. Be one of them when you're in their rooms. And so I went there, and the first person who said to me, "I don't have anybody to cuddle tonight," it was on. Okay? It was on. It took about 3 meetings. It has been on since last January. In July, they said, "I don't love you like you love me." It's still on, because I'm going to fix it. Because I can't accept this. And I'm loving and kind, and I know what you need. And you're the one who's lacking faith. And I'm too afraid to be alone like I was, living alone for 5 years that I had in the early part of my recovery. I took better care of myself then, you know. The other week I was sharing about it in a noon meeting I go to. And afterwards, my sponsor pulled up on me and said, "You got to use the correct pronouns in here so that it's safe for other people." Okay? And it's really hard for me to do because I got an image. So my boyfriend don't act the way I want him to act. Okay? And he's in recovery. And he's an addict. He just happened to find his recovery someplace else. And he, like many of us, brought other diseases with him to recovery. And he's a nurse, and I'm a nurse. And, I was sitting in that sponsorship meeting over there, and I heard this man share that when he was searching for a partner, he looked for the one whose self-esteem was at least at my level, or maybe a little bit lower. And I said, "I better go get a cigarette before I have to speak." This triangle of self-obsession has never become more clear to me than it is now as I'm trying to work a 6th step. Okay? These character defects have jumped right out here at me. To the point that my insanity has had me standing on 13th Street ready to kick a door down, calling my sponsor, saying, "He ain't here." And he said, "Of course he ain't here. He could be dead. You don't know. Get out of there. You're going to jail." Because, see, it's all about me, and I'm going to fix this thing one more time. Several weeks ago, my friend's mother got ill, and she's elderly, too. We're the same age. He had all those old parents, too. You know, we are connected. His mother's in the hospital, right? He calls me and says, "So-and-so left a set of keys outside my house. Will you please pick the keys up for me? Anything else I can do for you? No, just get those keys." Okay, fine. I go, I get the keys, let myself in. I'm going to pack a little bag because you need some things. I don't know when you might come back. Packed the bag, snooped around. And showed up in the intensive care unit at this hospital at 10:30 at night because, I know how to get in. And I was not welcomed. Because, see, I asked, was there anything else that you could I could do for you, and you told me no. Pick up the keys. And yet again, that I'm a resentful somebody, and I don't understand why. You know? Perfect. I still live in this triangle of self-obsession. This IP tells me there is a solution, and it is in the steps. So when I call my sponsor and talk about this insanity that's in my life, that I have chosen to live in, and he says things to me like, do you have a workbook? That's the step writing guide. I heard that finally. You know, I've had the same sponsor for almost 7 years. For 6 and a half, he was speaking Greek. Do you have a workbook? That's not to say I haven't done steps, but we did our step work from the basic text. I got out that workbook and was directed, because I need directions. Don't give me a suggestion. I can put a spin on it. Don't suggest I pick up your keys. And started with one, focused on this particular insanity in my life. And having to look at that resentment, that anger, and that fear that I'm not enough, you know, that I'm not going to be taken care of. I have found so much acceptance, love, and faith in Narcotics Anonymous, it just overwhelms me. I've had those miracles happen in my life. I know that when I step back and say, okay, higher power, your will, take me to where my talents can best be used, things that I have never dreamt about occur in my life. And I get to live them too. I guess the good news is that it says in the third step, we can always take our will back. Okay? And for me, when I do that, I'm right back in this triangle of self-obsession. Okay? And it's all about me, and it's no longer about you, and it's on, particularly if I think I can fix you. Because in fixing you, I heal my own brokenness. And I don't know where I got that message that I was broken, because I didn't get it here in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, the message I got here was that you're okay. You don't even have bad behavior. You just have some behaviors that don't serve you well. You know? It's me that labels bad behavior. Oh, I'm bad, you know. No, it's behaviors, and they're behaviors that don't serve me well. And the solution is, for me, is to continue on this journey, stay in the sixth step, step back to the first, and walk back up, and hang on to that faith that it's going to be okay. And if I don't believe it's okay, have enough courage to say, I'm in a bad space here today, and I need some help. Because there was a night, in that first go-round, that I attended a meeting and I was in a really bad space, and I could not put my hand up and tell you that I hurt and how badly I hurt. And I left that meeting and I stayed high again for the next 11 months. I don't want to live that again. I do not want to live that way today. So I'll come here, I'll cop in a different neighborhood, you know. But the only reason I need to be in that neighborhood is because that I'm at a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. And that I'm going to stay clean. Thanks for letting me share.
I want to thank my first speaker, Tom, for sharing his experience, strength, and hope. Now I would like to introduce our second speaker, and that is Thaddeus.
My name's Thaddeus. First thing I like to do is thank God for letting Thaddeus stand up in here, stand here. Like Tom, I'm nervous too, you know. And I've been thinking about this workshop for a long time also. I kind of knew when I was doing it. And one thing about sharing, when you come up in front of people and share, you got to get honest. And that's something that I struggle with. I have levels of honesty. A lot of days it depends on where I'm at spiritually. Some days I can't get honest at all. Some days I can get real honest. Some days it depends on who's in the room, how honest I'm going to get. For real. That's real. So, I see a lot of people in here that know me. You know? So, I guess I got to get honest. You know what? Tom hit on so many areas on the triangle of self-obsession. I remember this thing with resentment started a long time ago for me. You know, when I first did my fourth step, it was revealed to me I had a problem. It was a girl named Cynthia Cooper that I loved to death when I was growing up. And Cynthia Cooper had everything that a guy would want in a girl. She had long hair. She was light-skinned, fine as all outdoors. So, you know, and I can remember when I was young, I think I had to be about 10 years old. We was in school. My mother used to give me quarters and dimes to go to school and buy cookies and candy. And I would give my quarters and dimes to Cynthia Cooper. Because I wanted Cynthia Cooper to want me. You know, so I was a young trick. You know, real young. And I can remember very, very, very clearly, they had a thing back then called a spring fling, when the young ladies would pick the young man to go to the dance. And I knew I was in the pocket, because I had been giving Cynthia Cooper my quarters, dimes, and nickels. You know, I knew it. And when it came time to pick the guy, she picked another chump. And I was devastated. Because, like Tom said, I had put expectations on her. I just knew that she was going to pick me, and I had a whole lot of resentments. And it's something that I share about, because being in recovery for a while, I recognized that issues that I had before I even used drugs, if those issues are not addressed, I will bring the same issues and the same behavior in recovery with me. So I understand that, and I recognize that. And being in a relationship early in the program, because relationships is an area that I really, really struggle with. That's been my dilemma all my life, learning how to have healthy relationships with people. So recovery is teaching me, first of all, I need to have a healthy relationship with my higher power. But because before I can have a relationship with you, I need to get in touch with God. Learn how to have a relationship with myself. And it's a struggle at times. It's a struggle at times to really get honest, because a lot of times I'm finding, as you stay clean, the drug of choice for people with clean time becomes denial. You know, especially if you've done some step work, because you think you can handle it. And I can remember very, very vividly, just kind of bringing you up to recently. You know, this triangle self-deception talks about resentments, anger, and fear. We resent the things that happened in the past. We're angry about them today, and we fear the future because we don't know what it holds. And with me, and with this relationship piece, and the reason I'm going there, because it's something today I'm still struggling with. I'm caught up in the triangle. Getting in a relationship with three people at one time. I know nobody out there did that. And you know what the crazy thing about it? You know what? You think nobody knows. You know? You really think nobody knows, because I still like to put on masks. You understand? I still want you to accept me. And the key with the denial piece is that when you're caught up in denial, you're lying to yourself. And if you lie to yourself long enough, you'll start believing the lies you're telling yourself. And if you start believing the lies you tell yourself, then you got to act out the lies that you're believing that you're telling yourself to make you believe what I'm believing. You understand? So I was caught up. You know, I got caught up and got in a relationship with three people. And it's a part in the third step that talks about, for a time, life was pleasurable. Yeah, it was. It was real good. But then the euphoria wore off. We started to see the ugly side of addiction. Man, look. And you know, the worst thing you can do, man, is deceive people. Theft by deception. Taking somebody's heart, lying to them, telling them that you really that you love them, knowing that you don't. You know, because I wanted to fulfill my sick needs. So I'm lying to her, telling her she's the only one in my life. Sitting in the movies with her, my pager would go off. Boy, it's something about getting honest, isn't it? And right away, I got to go to the bathroom because I got to check it because I got it on vibrate, right? And I go to the bathroom and I make a phone call to see who it is, but I know who it is, right? And she asks me, where are you at? And I say, I'm on my way home. I'm here to go to one of my sponsees' house. Caught up. And one thing about the defect that Tom talked about, the defect of dishonesty, when you get caught up in that one defect of dishonesty, it grows a whole lot of other parts. Deception, manipulation, theft. I was caught up. Then I got a third girlfriend over here that I'm dealing with, and she's fulfilling the need. Now, nobody knows about nobody. Or at least I think nobody knows about nobody. And I know, man, when I first got here, man, that people talked about, man, at some point in time, man, if the compulsion and obsession and desire meets at the same time, you'll go. And the compulsion and obsession and desire met at the same time at a convention. Yeah. And you know, I don't want to minimize it because I want to say this. Each young lady that everybody that I have dealt with that has come in my life has been a good person. So I don't use this forum to talk about other people. I talk about me and some of the cruddy stuff that I have done. Because you can't hurt people in this process, because when you come in here and learn how to live right, when you live not right, your conscience will not let you live good. And it's not supposed to. Because they say, man, once you get a taste of this program, you just can't use safely no more. It don't mean drugs either. So what happened, man, I'm with one person at the convention just to finish chairing a workshop. We come out to meet together, and we run into the other person. So what decides to happen, she decides to go to her and ask her, did you know Thaddeus and I are together? I said, why did she do that? So now what are we talking about? We're talking about this happened at a New Year's Eve convention. New Year's Eve convention. Right before the New Year's was going to come in. Man, I was devastated, man. And I'm going to tell you what happened, because this is when I go, because I always look outside of me when you do something to me, because I never look at me. I always look at you. So the first thing, I was very resentful. Why did she go and tell her that? And I was angry about it. And the stages I went through, denial came up first, because I said, it ain't that bad. I'll get out of this. It's not really that bad, because I got a master lie that I'm going to tell. I'm caught up in the defect now. I'm lying. I'm manipulating. I got a lie I'm going to tell. But as I stay in the process, I went from denial to anger. Then from anger, I went to the poor me syndrome. Damn, why did this happen to me? And thank God for sponsoring this program. Thank God for the literature. Because one more time, I had to take a look at myself. And I'll never forget a guy named Usman sharing at a convention one year. And one thing he said that stuck in my mind, in order to get fucked, you got to get in position. So I did it to me, one more time. I put myself there. She couldn't have told on me if I hadn't done nothing for her to tell. But I didn't want to look at it like that because it was all her fault. So right now, the healing process has to take place because I did a lot of harm to three beautiful people that was in my life because of my own selfish needs that I need to have met. Because I'm a very selfish guy, and I have to get honest because a lot of times, man, I'm so dishonest, man. Look, this is what...